It's Friday. But Sunday is coming. You know, Friday was a hard day. It wasn't an easy day. Again, I was just listening to the description of a doctor talking and describing about the agony and the suffering of Christ, of what it was for him to be sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, if Allah is the way, if Buddha is the way, if Baha'i is the way, then Lord, get me out of this. But he realized there was no other way because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. Come on, somebody. How many know it was a hard day? So I was thinking about Friday being a hard day, but I was thinking about Sunday was a better day. Would you agree? And I was thinking about all the days leading up to that Friday, some of the wonderful teachings of Christ. Man, some of the things he said, I got to tell you, they're just hard to imagine. The thief on the cross and just turning to him, owning his sin, owning his need of forgiveness and redemption. And Jesus, there's nothing that man did. He didn't go to church one Sunday. People say, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You are absolutely right. You do not have to go to church to be a Christian. We are saved by grace through faith, and grace and faith alone. Amen. It's not like if you I heard someone this week say, if you vote for this party, you cannot be a Christian. And I'm thinking, excuse me, you're telling me that based on my political persuasion, that's what saves me? No, we are saved by grace. Come on, through faith. Amen. Saved by faith, through grace, and that alone. How, having said that, I might add this. Sharon and I have been married. But imagine if I just don't ever come home. Well, how many know that relationship's going to get weak? So I think we need to realize we need church. But church doesn't save us. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Jesus had some wonderful sayings. He turned to that thief on the cross. He didn't read the Bible. He didn't read a manual. He didn't read the three steps to salvation. He didn't do anything to deserve any forgiveness. It was purely the goodness of Jesus when that man owned his sin. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Come on, somebody thank God. What about some of the wonderful teachings of Jesus? Listen to this one. I think this one's really good. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, which is all Old Testament teaching. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, then turn the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. What about this teaching Jesus says? I love this one. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, have I longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and yet you are not willing. What about this one? I love this one. Just wonderful, wonderful thing Jesus did. He's at a wedding, and this poor bride and groom ran out of wine. And so Jesus' mum just goes, hey, Jesus, they've run out of wine. And do you know what Jesus kind of says? Not now, mum. Not mum, stop. And then she just ignores him, goes over and says, now, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's some of the best advice you'll ever get in your life. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And of course, Jesus says, well, look, go get 12 vats of water. They get it, fill it with water. And then he says, draw out the water, give it to the master of the banquet, and let's see what happens. And of course, Jesus turns water into wine. That's a wonderful day for the bride and groom. So good was the wine, by the way, that the master of the ceremonies said, listen, normally you know, couples kind of serve the best wine first because you can still taste it. You know it's quality wine. But once they've had a few drinks, they don't know one wine from another. You save the best for last. I'm telling you, we are living in the best days that have ever been. Can you say amen? That was a wonderful day. Wouldn't you agree? I just think it's amazing. Oh, what about this one? What about the woman caught in the very act of adultery? And these Pharisees are ready to just call out this woman's sin and drag her. I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but if you were caught in the act of adultery and the Pharisees are going, she was caught in the very act of adultery, and the law says that someone like this should be stoned to death. What do you say, Jesus? My first question is, if she's caught in the act of adultery, where's the man? They only bring the woman. Where's the man? You can't be caught in the act of adultery. All right, some of you will get that later. And they're ready to stone her. And they were full of righteous indignation. Lord, the word of the law says, surely you wouldn't contradict the law. And Jesus goes, all right. And he gets down on the ground. And he starts to write. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. But whatever he wrote was so powerful that everyone who had stones, who actually thought, well, I'll stone her. Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he gets down, he starts writing. Maybe he was writing their sins. Maybe he was writing the name of a woman, someone there who had a stone committed adultery with. I don't know what he wrote, but all I know is they all begin to look at what he wrote, and then they put down their rocks and they walked home. And then Jesus turns to this woman and says, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, there's no one, Lord. And he goes, no, there is no one, and neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. She was forgiven by Christ, but she was charged. Don't do this again. We got to get Jesus right. Can you say amen? That was a wonderful day. I think about these moments like this. Okay, ready for this one? Jesus born as a baby. That's a wonderful day. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. That was a wonderful day. Away in a manger. That's a wonderful song. What about the Beatitudes? My gosh, wonderful teachings. Or how about how much people love Jesus with all these wonderful teachings? Palm Sunday, last Sunday, they're all throwing down their palms and Jesus gets on a donkey and he's riding into Jerusalem. The Bible actually says he got on a colt, or another translation says he got on an ass. And Jesus was riding this donkey, this ass. And all the people were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Imagine if the donkey thought all that was for him. I know some Christian donkeys, and I want to call them asses. Because it's not for you, it's for him. Come on, somebody. So I want to give you just real quick, in just 10 minutes, maybe three things that were hard that Jesus said that we need to understand. Because Friday was a hard day. And Jesus had some hard things to say, some hard truths. Can you say amen? And I just want you to think about them tonight. Calvary was hard. It was very hard. Jesus did everything he could to get out of it. The devil offered him some opportunities. He resisted that. But this one last appeal in the garden. Lord, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. And he did the hard thing, and he surrendered. Listen to this. When he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Listen to this. Then and only then did an angel come and minister to him. We want the angel to come and minister to us before we make the hard decisions. But the angel only came after Jesus surrendered. Give you three thoughts. Ready? Here's the first one. Luke chapter 9. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, because we're talking about the cross of Christ tonight, daily, and follow Jesus. That's a hard saying. That's a hard thing to do. That is so counterintuitive to the culture in which we live in. Wouldn't you agree? Because all of us, a lot of us kind of think, well, it's all about me and it's about my happiness. But Jesus says, no, no, you got to deny yourself. I've heard people say this, God is a big part of my life. And they mean it in a way that says, you don't understand just how big a part God is. And I'm going, well, what part is he not involved in your life? Like if he's a big part, what about the rest? And Jesus said, hey, if you want to be a follower of me, you got to be willing to deny your whole life and lay down your whole life. And you got to pick up your cross and you've got to follow me. Jesus said, whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever who loses his life for my sake will save it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul in return? I have this quote. I want you to write this down. I think we have it on the screen. I hope we do. Life is too short to be successful for what does not matter for eternity. I want to say it again. Life is too short to be successful for what does not matter for eternity. Come on, somebody ought to shout me down right now. Somebody ought to be praising God. Somebody should be clapping. Life is too short for what does not matter. Sometimes we get all obsessed and consumed with things about earth life and achieving earth life goals. But let me tell you, life is too short to be successful for what does not matter for eternity. We live in a self-obsessed world. We live in a temporal world, but eternity is forever. Can I give you my second hard thing I think Jesus said? And I think we miss this sometimes. I think we really can overlook this. And this is the teaching where Jesus talks about a house that's built on a rock. Let me read it to you. Therefore, if anyone hears these words of mine, there's a lot of good hearers out there. I know what Easter's about. It's about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Yeah, I know what Easter's about. Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wind came. People posted negative things about him on social media. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But here's the hard part. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand and the rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. My friend, we have got to build our life on the words of Jesus. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you know. I don't care what your opinion is. is, and you probably shouldn't care what my opinion is. People say, Pastor, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Who cares what I think? What does the Bible say? And we're going to hear the words of Jesus, and we're going to act on the words of Jesus. Shouldn't we just hear them and not put them into practice? Your life will crash. It's not enough just to hear his words. We must practice them. Amen? Only a wise man can say yes on Jesus' words. Can you say amen? Did you know right before this parable, Jesus tells this incredible truth that not everybody he calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. They're hard teaching. Our lives will not weather the storms of life unless we build our lives and practice the teaching of Christ. Amen? Our motives, our morals, and we see the world throwing away the wisdom of God. The sanctity of marriage, the idea of what is a family of a father and a mother and children is no longer looked at, yet it is the wisdom of God. In the beginning, God created man and woman. And he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to the wife, and the two shall become one. And then he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And we see the world doing everything it can to break down the family unit. Gender identity, what's happening in education, contrary, throwing prayer out of schools. Come on, somebody. The world today does what Jesus said of the Pharisees. You strain out the gnat and you swallow the camel. I was thinking of you in Jerusalem. I'll never forget it. You said to me, Pastor, it's always been my dream. It's on my bucket list if I could ride a camel in Jerusalem, in Israel. I said, I can make that dream come true. Except our tour guide, I don't know if you know this, she's an animal lover, and she doesn't like the idea of people riding camels. So I went up to the tour guide. I said, I want to get a camel. There's somebody in our group, sweet, sweet woman, who wants on her bucket list before she goes from this world into eternity to ride a camel in Israel. She goes, no camel. You will not ride a camel. There will be no camel riding. And I said, no, you're the tour guide. You do what I tell you. She said, no camel. So I just went, I don't care. I went over to these guys. They said, camel, now. And we picked you up and put you on the camel. We even have a photo. Jesus, that's a big camel. And Jesus said, you Pharisees, you strain out the gnat and you swallow a camel. You major or minors or minor or majors. He said, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs, you're full of dead men's bones. You're twice the son of hell. You proclaim how to get to heaven, but you yourselves are not going there. I love Jesus. And here's the third teaching that I think is hard. And it's the one I started with that was a nice teaching. And it's this one. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Surely, Jesus, you don't mean enemy enemies. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Amen? He said, even the pagans love their friends. But the world will know that we are Christians when we can even love our enemies. That's a hard teaching. Someone cuts us off. I was in a store today, and this person was making it so hard for me to get what I wanted. I was getting angry, and I suddenly heard my sermon preach at me. Jesus demonstrated this himself by going to Calvary and shedding his blood for our sins. He could have called a legion of angels. Amen. Did you know in the Old Testament when Jesus talked about the eye for the eye, tooth for a tooth? The whole idea of an enemy or a thief in the Old Testament, that whenever you caught the thief, he was made to pay back double. When you catch him, and he's going to come good, and he wants to come good, so that he will demonstrate a turned around life, a repentant life, if he stole $20, he had to give you $40. And that was an evidence of a willing change. No wonder Jesus said, turn the other cheek. No wonder Jesus said, if you ask him to go a mile, go two. He's teaching us something of the Old Testament with a new law and a new way of thinking. Amen. I actually think that's what's behind the teaching here, to offer him the other cheek. The Bible says Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and he never opened his mouth. He died for us while we were alienated from him. He died for us while we were enemies of the cross. While he who knew no sin became sin, so that we might live, those of us, all of us who are far from God. There is none righteous, no, not a one. All have sinned, and our best works are as filthy rags. And in that moment of our sin, in our depravity, he came and gave up his life. God bankrupted heaven. Every sickness, every disease, every sin, every wrongdoing, every wrong thought, every injustice, every wrong word that's come out of our mouth, murder, adultery, cowardness, he who knew no sin was thrust upon his body the weight and the sins of the world. And that's when Jesus cried out for the first time ever. He'd been in constant communion and relationship with God. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's because God is holy. God is pure. God cannot look upon sin. And in that moment, there was a transference. My sin, your sin, was on him. And because God turned his back on Jesus, he'll never turn his back on you. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Somebody needs to thank God. It's Friday, but Sundays are coming.